Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's February 22nd, 2022.
Good. Okay. We have a full committee and we have a guest. Welcome, Leah.
That's Michaela, actually. She's our Michaela?
Okay.
Member.
Okay. Welcome, Michaela. Shall we, let's do introductions for her then.
Sure. And Michaela, you can jump off of, you can have your camera on if you'd like to say hello to everyone. I mean, six of one, half a dozen of the other, but eventually this will be published on the web.
And thousands of people will watch it.
Well, it must be a lot of bored people there. No.
Everyone's on the edge of their seat. To see what happens next in D-City USA.
So, okay, then I'll start and then we can go to Leslie and on to the other committee members. Kate Jackson, I just joined. My first official meeting with the B-City committee was in December, and I was asked and agreed to become the chair this year. I'm just getting started on all of this, the content, the people and the activities. And Leslie is our liaison from the Parks Commission. That's why I've asked her to go next.
Oh, we're doing intros. I was like, oh my gosh, is there an agenda item that I am not aware of that I'm leading? Hi, I'm Leslie Eldridge. I am the Ashland Parks and Recreation Commissioner, the newest. Oh, the youngest, the only woman. I'm actually on my second year now as a commissioner. And I don't know. Yes, there's a lot of subcommittees going on and a lot of drama lately but not with B-City USA. So I love it being here because pretty much everyone in Ashland loves their pollinators and we can get some good work done. Should I pass it along to Nancy?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead? You pick who to pass it along to, and we'll get everybody.
Hi, Michaela. Michaela and I know each other. So I'll skip the introductions, and it's nice to be here at a calm meeting. Christina.
Hi, everyone. Michaela, I'm other than Libby, the longest B-City USA member, I guess. So I was here at the founding in 2014/2015 and been just really pleased to have been part of this and glad that we're making some big changes in terms of how we look at things, but so I'm glad to be here today. Thank you. Nice to meet you, and I'm sure I'll see you at some point. Hi, Lori. I didn't see you before, so hi.
You want me to go next?
Yep. Why don't you go next?
Thank you, Christina. Okay, so my name is Lori Kaplan, and I've only been on the committee for about a year, and I'm struggling with gardening in this area because I'm from the East Coast where there's lots of water. And so I'm a little bit in shock right now as a gardener. But my main activities are climate solutions, local climate solutions. So hopefully you'll see my name around in that context. It's my primary activity. Glad you can be here with us. Albert, yeah.
Hi. I'm Albert Pepe. I guess I've been on a committee, I don't know, 4 years almost, seems like about that, and happy to do so and still be doing it. Lived and worked in Ashland for a long 30 years, and I'm a gardener and work with plants and help out on farms and that kind of stuff. Remind everybody that next Tuesday is the first outdoor farmers market in Ashland.
Yay.
It's going to be at the Armory, so I'm still for a while. So that's my announcement for right now. And so good to be here. Excuse me.
Michaela, what can you tell us about your what brings you here?
I graduated from OSU recently. I got 2 degrees, natural resources, with an option in human dimensions and sustainability. Like Lori, my ultimate goal is to combat climate change. And so I love to connect young people or just community members with those climate solutions and just get people to start thinking about stewardship. And so with North Mountain Park, I am the new service learning program leader. And so I'll be leading the service learning programs like environmental art or bird nerds and stuff like that. So, yeah. Let me know if you have any more questions.
Well, excellent. Yeah. Yeah. So to get back to the agenda, then I now realize, so I want us to keep in mind that this is a 90-minute meeting, not a 2-hour meeting like I did last month. And so the first order of business is a couple of sets of minutes. Are there any comments on either of those? They were attached further down the agenda from both December 1st and from our January 18th. Meetings.
And I've placed the packet in the chat in case you didn't get a chance to look at it ahead of time. But yeah, those are the draft minutes that need approval.
And a link to the Jamboard's in there too. I have read the minutes and I didn't see any need for corrections. Did anyone else come up with something?
We could entertain a motion to approve.
Sure, I'll motion to approve.
This is very minimal. I do have one small correction. let's see, what meeting is this? It's the second one that's listed. So January 18th, 2022. This is a very small thing, but the bottom of page 3, it just says fall quarter now, students are looking for projects by winter quarter, they're desperate to find a project. I would rather just it makes our poor students sound desperate.
So what would you want to substitute there? They need to be making a selection.
Yes, they're you know something. Yeah, we could put by winter quarter they must like finalize a topic or research topic or whatever.
I second the motion to approve the minutes with that amendment. Is that appropriate?
Have you got a spot for that, Libby? Okay. All right. Anything else?
Is there a second?
Lori's second.
Oh, okay, perfect. Then that's good. And I guess we call for a vote. Raise your hand. It looks like everyone approves. Thank you. We're moving forward.
Can I reiterate how wonderful it is, Libby, that you do these action item lists at the end of our notes? There is not one other subcommittee that I'm in where these happen, and it's so fantastic. I just love it so much. Every time I see your little boxes and your checklists, it brings joy to my heart.
I kind of that's kind of how you have to do it to make sure you're to turn the minutes into something usable. So
I love it.
The next agenda time period is for public participation. Since we don't have any here.
No.
Okay.
I thought we had to approve 2 minutes.
Did we?
What was that for?
The motion covered both of them.
I think we did it simultaneously.
Okay.
Did you have something for one of those meetings, Nancy?
No, I misunderstood. I thought we had to approve two minutes.
I think we did them in one fell swoop.
Thank you.
Okay, then we can move on to Well, double checking, because there actually is something probably, whether there's anything else we want to add to the agenda or make sure that we leave a little bit of time to mention it under item 5, other items. Okay, well, I'll add then, because Christina and I have been working on the annual report to BCity USA, and I had hoped that we could circulate that for everyone to take a look at last week. Did it go to everyone this morning, Christina?
Yesterday, I think. Either yesterday or the day before, I sent it out, the latest with your some of your revisions in there. So it's more or less final. It's asking for some numbers from Libby just to confirm that they are the same as last year. And then maybe a photo from Libby. I used your name in both places so you can see where I could use your help. And then, you know, obviously any input or suggestions from other committee members to go into there. We had sent it out earlier a couple of weeks ago, so hopefully you looked at it then. But if you have anything else to add, something that could go in the annual report to tell BCity USA Central all the good stuff we're doing. And of course, that's publicized out. So if you've got something, then you know you've got a few days. It's due by the end of the month. So I've got 6 days to do it. So the sooner I get it, the better, because I'd like to get this finished. And so I have to input it into a Google form. So the format you see in front of you, if you're going to read that, just ignore that. I have to cut and paste and put it into a Google form.
Christina, excellent job as always. Thank you for taking the days to do that.
Yeah, thank you. Good memory. So it's very possible I missed something. So I pulled out the things that seemed to stand out, you know, the tour that we did with Mountain Meadows, obviously. So it's a matter of like keeping a little tiny log somewhere and keeping photos. So that this year, as we move forward, obviously, whatever we do FireWise or East Main Park or, you know, working with SOU or whatever it is that we're doing, then I'm not going to necessarily be doing as good a job as theoretically I have been doing, theoretically, no telling what I missed because I can't remember it. So it's going to, you know, people just need to make sure we keep track of what we've done. And photos are really excellent putting things together. Like if we're doing anything with the golf course, if we're doing anything more, you know, whatever we're doing with Clinton Street, the Pollinator Garden, Mountain Meadows. I got a phone call from Pat Nichols. It's of interest to the group probably. But so, yeah. So that would be an ask for 2022.
Okay, so that we don't have to come back to this at the end, then I just want to conclude by saying, yeah, it's been terrific to have Christina putting this together. This year, I'd like to make it more of to see if that's how we want to continue, or whether Libby and I or someone else want, maybe Michaela, can help with the record keeping, because you know, we can each take photos, but as long as they remain in our possession, they're not part of the group record. So, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on that this time, because we put a lot of stuff onto the Jamboard last time. I mean, that's really the priority for today's agenda. Is there anything else that people would like to touch on briefly at the end? I don't want to get into discussion now, but just a topic.
Not at the end, but I don't have the minutes in front of me, and I'm having a challenging time like connecting with some of that. I'm here at the meeting, obviously, but I got them sent to me. I just don't have them in front of me, so I'm not referencing them. Is there a way that when we were doing an item, can someone read what the item is so I have a better idea of what we're talking about in each item? So that's all I'm asking. Yeah. I don't have another screen or a split screen. I'm not doing that right now. So.
Okay.
The agenda is very simple, Albert. We're just going to be, now that we're done with approving minutes and other items, now we're going into looking at the projects that were proposed in our last meeting. So just a refresher, when we proposed projects in the last meeting, we put sticky notes on that Jamboard. We put our projects into three main headers. So there are three large umbrellas that we're using to kind of capture the project ideas. The first is supporting and building pollinator-friendly landscapes.
Right.
Then educating about pollinators and their conservation. And the third is affecting systems, policies, and organizational change.
Okay.
And there's a variety of sticky notes on the organizational Jamboard for each one of those goals.
Right. Okay. Well, that's great. That helps me updates me and gets me.
And now it's just a loose, now it's not like agenda. It's not really tied to the agenda. It's just a loose discussion that'll hopefully get us to some prioritization.
Okay. And then there's also a parking lot. I knew there was four. So there's also a parking lot that doesn't quite fit, I guess.
Parking lot. Okay.
I'm just curious. Oh, I felt like I almost got, looks like everyone's, we had a power shortage, but everyone's back. It's like a surge. I see you.
Yeah, I got background flash from white to black.
Yeah, strange. Do we want to add a very quick mention of the East Main Park? I know Libby sent out an invite to the public meeting, and there's been quite a bit of negative chatter regarding East Main Park in general on social media. So it would be really wonderful if we got park lovers at that meeting, because there's a lot of folks on social media saying we can't afford a park, we don't need a park, we don't want another park, East Main is a waste of money, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know if we want to talk about that, or if I could just encourage folks to spread the word and get people that are excited or interested in what the park will give to the community to come to this public meeting.
What social media site are you on?
There was quite a long, maybe two, that Nextdoor had a big section on it. It was, you know, a lot of it was focused on the pump track, but some of it, a decent amount of it was focused on the park in general. And then I Heart Ashland on Facebook also had a large discussion that was pretty inflammatory. And there were people encouraging folks to go to the public meeting and tell APRC that nobody wants this park. And
well, I want to really strongly second Leslie's request that we ourselves and encourage other people to go to the meeting and take whatever opportunities there are to make comments, especially written comments and support. We've gotten several emails on how to register, and you can find it on the website. Libby, how does the city counter that sort of activity? Because social media is not policy. It's not official. It's not monitored. Do we have the ability to review what's there and assess?
I'm probably not the best person to ask about that.
Were you going to say assess the validity or?
Yeah. I mean, we know that there's, and I'm not on social media. I'm not going to read it. I don't have time and I don't know how to, you can't respond. That's at least not in my experience as a former elected official. There's no way to be thorough enough. But the city has a social media policy of its own. There's definitions, intentions, some ideas about when to respond and how to respond and who will do it, a communications person, for example. But then in terms of the project itself, you just need to generate the support. You just need to generate positive support respectful comments. From people that live in the area that are willing to identify themselves as a park user and living in the area and living in town.
We do, APRC has a social media presence. It's definitely not getting into that fray though, and I think that's probably the appropriate. But yeah, there was plenty of information provided to those folks about the links to the public meetings, the poll results that had come out, everything that sort of showed that there was a lot of community support for the parks. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't think the city gets into the habit of responding. I mean, the mayor herself posts quite frequently on all those, but besides for that, there's no official policy. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, one thing I noticed with social media, it's kind of a wild card. I mean, anybody can say anything at any time. And I mean, it's out there, and I think people are kind of frustrated too that you can't really come to meetings anymore, or you can't feel like they're not being able to participate on some level. And that's what I sense, you know. And then there's the frustration that has been going on with the parks ever since the whole thing with the senior center several years ago. And for better or worse, that's what it is. And I don't know, there's only so much we can do. I think staying focused and positive on what this park can be, and, you know, and maybe some of us have mixed feelings too, but it's just like the meetings and those information forums or whatever they're being called is a good avenue, a good way to process how things get done. And I think people miss that they think it's already going to be a done process, which for a lot of times it seems like that's what happens. Like the process is done and you barely have a voice as a community member. And there's a fine line there with that. I don't know how to change that, or I just noticed that's what's happening. So thanks.
Yeah, and I do. I mean, I've read the more official sources. I read official news sources, and Rick Blount's comments that this is a replacement park. It's not new acreage. So it's actually going to be and we're going through a design process with multiple public meetings now.
Am I muted? Sorry, I'm not paying attention to the screen. I just pulled up while we were talking. I don't know how much longer we're going to go on this, but I'm reading a post on the I Love Ashland, I Heart Ashland, Oregon. And so, yeah, there's a big discussion on this one thread, 264 comments. There's a couple of people on here that are supporting the park and having a place. So yeah, this is a pretty big thing. I don't usually go to this page. So for those of us that are on social media, it would be a good thing. I don't think we're going to change any minds. So
as a point of interest, within that huge chain, Mayor Akins says that she believes that APRC should be dissolved and placed under the control of City Council as a department of the city. Which, to my knowledge, she's never stated in any city council meeting, but has decided to state her belief, position, and Facebook. But just FYI, APRC is well aware of these. There's this faction of city council that is interested. And
APRC is part of the charter. They're not going to be able to change the charter. But the negativity is just not helpful. I can speak to myself, and I know other folks that I'm involved with that are on this and other commissions. We're doing our best to be directly in touch with staff and support staff in whatever ways they need, including helping to generate more comments through commissions and to the city council. I guess I'd also say that at least in my, and again, I mean, this speaks to the independence of the Parks Commission. They are a separate decision-making body. They can at least deliberate now on their own, as they make their recommendations. But generally, staff wants to rely on knowledgeable sources and not just say, oh, because there's 350 comments this way, you know, we're going to make our decision that way. So it just makes a negative operating environment, a really negative operating environment.
And I think that it's a really good thing to keep in mind that the subcommittees that deal closely with NEC and people like you who deal closely with staff are potentially really good advocates for what's actually happening on the inside. So having your attendance at events and public meetings and the way, and just having you out there in the world talking about the work that we do is very helpful. And it occurs to me that if we do switch gears shortly to discussing priorities, we can look at our priorities with this lens, understanding that the things that we undertake would hopefully create positive momentum for not just the subcommittee, but for Parks and Rec. Because I don't think you can argue with many of the objectives that we have here. They're all positive things that we could do for the community. So I think when we do select a couple of them, that will be exciting and possibly good PR, because I think they're all good things.
So if we can, let's turn to that Jamboard. I'm curious how many people worked on their own page. Libby created a separate page for each of us that was, at least at the beginning, identical to the first page. I can't tell who modified theirs. Christina did by introducing a now and later color scheme. And so she changed the colors of the post-its. I went in and started circling in red, and some of them I moved from one place to another. But have other people worked on that, and can Libby help us with an approach to talking about it today?
Maybe I would ask your opinion about an approach to look at each of the main goal headings in turn, and possibly pick one primary action or project that meets each of the goal headings that we have. And then as we would do that, certain things would get moved to the parking lot. You know, in Christina's schema, they would be changed, you'd change it to the later color. Not that you wouldn't do it, but that you would have to have like priorities about what you're going to tackle first.
And I just, since we're talking about mine, and mine is hopefully understandable, and I'm glad I did this a long time ago, because I was looking at it this morning going, what in the heck? So I was trying to do the now or later, and I wasn't trying to prioritize within each quadrant. I was just organizing it by quadrant and then saying that's a now in terms of like this year or in the very near future, and later is I hope we do it. But, and then I was trying to draw lines of how they connect in my mind anyway, because I thought that might have some relationship. And I suppose if we were really going to get good at this, we would, you know, move all the yellows to the parking lot, get rid of those, and then start numbering the others, but obviously look at other people. So I have no idea what to do next, but.
Nancy and Albert and Lori, did you make any modifications to your pages?
No, I haven't, no.
So what do you all think about the idea of taking one quadrant of the Jamboard, like let's say supporting and building pollinator-friendly landscapes, and think about that one first, since we've got things organized into quadrants already. And then, you know, my hope is that we would pick up, we would pick a primary project objective under that heading. And I know that there's a lot of project objectives that are all cool and we would like to move them all forward, but maybe we pick a primary one. And if that also, you know, if that's too narrow, then we could alter it, alter my suggestion a little bit and pick a primary goal under that project heading, under that goal heading. And then if there's another thing that we want to do, but it's kind of like less time sensitive or more of an ongoing continuation of a project, we could retain that too in 22.
So did anybody else change theirs? I guess what I'm trying to get at is mine's the most messy, and I think I added things to it. So is there a way that we can put them all together onto one sheet, or like?
No, I don't know how you do. I was not very good at all. I did modify mine. I changed some colors. I added some text when I moved a box from one corner to another, and I circled things. The corners, the three corners besides the parking lot are the kind of the standard ways that B-City USA asks us to organize our work and our annual report back to them.
Would it be helpful to share screen?
Sure.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What I found was that we've got two very, very broadly. There's the garden approvals, right? Soliciting new gardens, inspecting them, talking with people, adding them to the list. Nancy and Christina in the past have been doing most of. And then the other thing that came up at our January meeting was a tour has also been a pretty standard thing, except that this time we, because we felt pressured about incorporating the fire risk assessment and felt strongly about it, that we began thinking of, okay, let's not do a tour so that we can spend time on that. Essentially, it's new information development, both actual information and then the marketing, the presentation materials to do outreach related to that material. And so honestly, that's where I gravitate, because Charisse's list is just amazing, but we need to work to get official support for it. It might be OSU Rachel Whirling, it might be someone else, but it's a huge topic. I went to the Southern Oregon Landscape Association meeting that she and Julie Smitherman gave last week. And because of the water conservation needs, if we have continuing drought, the Medford Water Commission and Julie Smitherman and City of Ashland Water Conservation are going to also keep pushing on that. So now we've got water drought, fire, and increasing habitat all trying to be competing for attention, but best integrated. That can certainly be part of every outreach and every, whether it's down at North Mountain Park or whether it's with individual garden consultations, it can be part of the conversation. But in the background, the work to actually propose to develop that integrated approach is going to take a lot of people working collaboratively.
So based on what you were just saying, Kate, one way to think about or one way to organize our thoughts around this could be that under the heading supporting and building pollinator-friendly landscapes, we continue the work to certify and approve new gardens. And maybe we add a dimension to our certification process that involves looking at those gardens with an eye for FireWise qualities as well. So that would just kind of be continue moving the ball forward in terms of the garden certification process. Hopefully get more gardens on our list this coming year and look at those with an eye for which might be good, educational examples of FireWise landscaping as well. And that would be.
And so on this example, which is mine, that is what I did. I brought circled, it's still yellow, the approved pollinator garden certification program and site visits. Just to the left of that, I've got a blue one. I moved it from the other corner because it's outreach to approved gardens while also highlighting the fire risk assessment. Nancy. You're muted, Nancy.
Is she even there?
Sorry.
That should be better. There we go.
I think that's absolutely doable, Kate. Thank you so much for combining those two together. When Christina and I are out in the community, it's a good opportunity for educational to add the FireWise as an educational component.
Good question. Has that been on pause for the last year and a half, or has that continued? Has there been pollinator gardens approved, or just out of curiosity, for the last year and a half?
It has not been on pause. We just haven't received very many nominations. And so Christina and I had spoken of an outreach to our current, almost 100 gardeners. And that's not quite right, Christina. What, 89?
Closer to 90-ish, almost okay. 100. I just didn't want to make it sound like it was over 100.
We can certainly reach out to them with a communication saying, hey, nominate your neighbors or anybody else you see. And as I said the last time, I'd sure like some more boots on the ground wandering around the neighborhoods when we take our walks, to just carry a pencil and paper in your backpack and write down addresses, send them to us, and we'll scope them out.
On my page, I'd also added, I forget if it might have, because we were going to defer doing a tour until the following year, because we need to develop better information and more certainty about being able to move around in person. But I retained the idea of having a social with the existing pollinator gardens, and maybe it's a virtual meeting, maybe it can actually be an outdoor one, maybe at North Mountain Park in May. Just throwing out the date, not trying to pin anybody down, just that it's warm enough to be outside. But to talk about the issue of what the gardeners are seeing, but what is their experience? Are they worried about drought? How are they thinking about the fire risk? And we can, then also be talking about what we're becoming aware of how we're trying to work out some of the conflicts in the recommendations. So that would be an outreach event that we could include in the annual report next year.
Maybe we could have it at North Mountain Park in the pavilion.
Yeah, that's absolutely a possibility. The pavilion is available for you all. There's power. If it's during the day, it's a little hard to see a projector, but you can project slides on a screen out there. I think the only hesitation I have about that plan is kind of our bandwidth to do an event, how busy we all are, but it's a relatively small invite list, so maybe it's not terrible.
Kate, it seemed that the three previous socials that we had, people weren't terribly enthusiastic about coming to them, and I know Christina might defer, but I think there were maybe 20 people who came on our entire invitation list.
Do you think that predates the pandemic?
No, this was before the pandemic. I think our last one was in 2020.
Yeah, we did February, I think, 2020. And then, of course, you know, that changed. And, of course, it was always a weekday and generally in the afternoon. We did it late in the afternoon, but it was a weekday. So those people that worked would be, you know, they wouldn't necessarily want to come.
Maybe late in the evening, 5 or 6 o'clock, 5 maybe, at the park after the flowers are all in bloom and it's a pretty place to go. They might be more inclined to.
Does it fit in the pollinator week?
And
as a pollinator week activity?
That sounds good.
There you go. Because if we did that, it would fulfill our need to do something on pollinator week.
would it be just invite to the gardeners on the, I mean, who are certified gardener, I mean, on the pollinator gardeners, or would it be open to the community then?
Might be nice to invite Riverwalk and Mountain Meadows.
Mm-hmm. They're close
to get
by.
Their input.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. I wouldn't open it to the community, I don't think, and just in terms of space and getting too many people, but it would be a nice thing to do. Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, I'm going to wonder out loud whether North Mountain Park typically has Earth Day events happening there.
Not at the moment. We have participated in Rogue Valley Earth Day, which has recently stopped existing. It may come back in some form, in a different form someday, but at the moment, the person who was planning Rogue Valley Earth Day has stepped down, and so it doesn't look like there's going to be an Earth Day celebration at, you know, in our region. And as much as I would love to do something specific to North Mountain Park, I just don't have the bandwidth to pull off an event. So I would jump on board something that someone else was putting together, but I probably wouldn't develop something.
When is Pollinator Week?
June 20th through the 26th.
Okay, so that's a concept, but not a definite.
My feeling is if we're doing something for Pollinator Week, I think we should be doing something for the larger community, with the larger community, or invite the larger community, however. And it could be something totally different, but that's my feeling on that.
Is it possible to, we plan the event and we specifically invite the Pollinator Gardens and the folks that took part from North Mountain, from Mountain Meadows and from Clinton Street, and others that we individually know. But it also is posted on the park's website. I mean, it's going to be in a public place, and it might, you know, maybe right. It would be on a weekend day, so that it doesn't impose on folks that technically work Monday through Friday.
I think there's two kind of competing constraints. They kind of work against each other. On the one hand, I totally get where Albert's coming from about wanting to do a public event that involves more people, but there's also a limitation of space during COVID. And if we turn it into a widely advertised public event, then I have to worry about the fact that the pavilion can only hold about 20 people at social distance.
And then there's the golf course, but that's maybe a little too far out of town.
There is the green area in front of the bathrooms, or that, whatever that building is, that could, like if we set up a tent or something. But I guess also when we've had the socials in the past, it was to invite the Bee City USA gardeners to come and meet each other in person, and, you know, sort of like talk about their gardens. And then also to talk about the tour. So I guess I like this idea. I just want to see if we're doing something either by invite only. You know, what is the purpose of it? Unless it's just a social come and meet other people. You can't, we're not doing a tour, but this is a great way to talk about your gardens and about your concerns and all that, which is, I think Kate mentioned. I mean, the other thought, if you really wanted to blow it up, but I'm not necessarily advocating for this, is to have some sort of panel on Zoom, I guess, to talk about it in a more structured way, the issues that are here about the pollinators and the gardens and the lack of water and what that means. I have a friend who's a botanist, and she's over in Colorado, and she was along a river somewhere, I don't know where. She said there's nothing coming up, there's nothing growing because there's no water. So yeah, the whole landscape will look a little different this year. I guess my point being is, you know, depending on whatever it is we want to do during Pollinator Week, then I was trying to get clear on what it is, why people would come, what's the hook.
I don't think people will come if we just say, come and talk to other gardeners. They won't be that inclined to initiate conversations. I think there needs to be a panel, and I would not say on social media, I mean on Zoom.
I agree, and I think maybe just doing some kind of little walkthrough identification of plants that are already at North Mountain Park that are pollinator plants, native plants, add that into the mix so it's not just standing around in a group. We can walk, you know, encourage people to walk around, and people who really know the plants identify them and talk about the plants and themselves. So might be an addition to what we're mm-hmm. discussing.
Libby?
These are all great ideas when it comes to developing an idea for an attractive educational public program that we could offer this summer. I would love to do like a tour of the North Mountain Park Gardens with one of you all to you know, highlight the habitat elements that are out there. I would love to do a panel discussion where we break down these issues and we have, you know, speakers and we invite the public to participate. These are all great educational formats. We're just a little bit behind the eight ball when it comes to advertising those in the Parks and Rec Guide. So if we were going to do a public program, I probably needed to have submitted that last week. I might be able to squeeze it in there, but another thing we could do is just table the idea of the public program for a minute. Go back around the jam board to look at the other big projects and decide whether or not, you know, if we're moving other balls forward, whether a public event or a public program or a public gathering or a public educational program are, you know, how they rank compared to the other things that we're trying to move forward in the other categories.
I'd like to hear from some of the others about their other preferences, because mine is the policy development, and so a number of those would fit in a working group that's pursuing the NEONIC resolution, the research on lawn conversions. That New Jersey's publication is going to be a terrific reference for that. And this cross-referenced plant list that Charisse is working on, those are all developing policy that there are also other groups working on pieces of them.
I think the plant list will tie into policy eventually, but that right now the plant list to me looks like an educational tool. But, you know, it'll eventually all end up in the same result, but I think that part of the research and filling out of that is a really nice educational ball that we could be moving forward.
Yeah, could we have like an educational event when that product is ready? Of some kind, even if it were a Zoom program? It's really dense information. Yeah, I'd like to say I'm more interested
and I don't know what our timeline is for getting that right. released and who would host it, because it's right now it's her personal database. Yeah.
But I would say I'm like Kate in that I'm more interested in the policy side than the social events or live events.
So do you want to look at that umbrella first? Let's go now to maybe affecting systems, policies, and organizational change and see under that heading, Lori, if there's anything that was inspiring you in that quadrant.
Libby, do you want to share either my or Christina's Jamboard just so people can read the posters? I mean, I'm looking at my own on another screen.
Okay.
We're looking at the lower left.
I actually see, I circled that set of three, the facilitate capstone, SOU student as member, establish relationship, because I would like to collaborate with them among others, and they can help us work on both the educational, whatever interests them, whichever projects we define, whether it's helping with a garden design and garden installation, or with outreach, or with policy research.
Yeah, I agree that would be something that I'm interested in working on, and I think it would sort of magnify our ability to get work done or to reach out to the community. I think I'd love to work with this committee to maybe design a capstone along East Main Park. Planning design, I think that would be a great capstone. I'm not sure, I guess maybe I'm changing the subject here. I see all three of these, facilitate capstone project, SOU student as a Bee City member, an established relationship with SOU Pollinator Club, of which, like, I think that the SOU, okay, so those are all sort of, one of them is kind of redundant. I don't know if it might be nice to start like throwing out some of these or combining them so we have less going on. But I think you can take SOU student as Bee City member out because that's included with established relationship with SOU Pollinator Club.
Okay.
It seems
to me. Well, I agree with everything you said, but I could see where if a student wanted to come to these meetings, that could be sort of that's part of it, because you could have a relationship without them being a Bee City USA member.
Well, it just says on that bottom pink slip in parentheses,
oh,
possible student member of Bee City committee.
Okay.
And they don't have to be, because I'm not sure we're not sure where we stand in terms of the numbers of appointments we can make, but they can attend the meeting and mm-hmm. attend regularly. Without being appointed. If there's, you know, if they have the reason and motivation to do it, like they're involved in a capstone project development.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to, I don't know, I'm a little unsure about, though I'd love to see it happen, the establish a dialogue with APRC about long-term goals for parklands. I'm concerned that the bandwidth of APRC is stretched so thin right now that this might not be an attainable goal. I hate to think that it would be a year that we're going to be stretched as thin and having crises after crises, but I don't know that asking, I guess I don't know what that looks like. Maybe it would help to know what that looks like.
From what I've seen, I would tend to agree. Libby, do you have any different opinion? Even all the subcommittees of the park, of the commission, and the entire staffing, status is just really hard right now. Should we try to describe what we're doing then as sort of the backup to, so that we're ready for those conversations, right? The work that Lori and some others did that were towards the lawn conversions. There's some steps in there that either students or one of us or someone else interested could help research what other communities are doing, what other B-City communities are doing. That would simply sort of help prepare the policy suggestions by having examples ready and finding other resources.
Are you saying that blue post-it above establish a dialogue with APRC is kind of setting the scene for eventually that dialogue occurring? That makes sense to me. I've always thought that case studies are fabulous projects for undergrads to do, for them to like look at several different places that have successfully implemented policy change or open space management and see what is relevant or applicable to their community. I think that would be a great sustainability capstone. Wow, it's snowing hard.
So it is. And my snow just melted. It had stayed overnight from yesterday.
Do folks agree with that? Can we kind of establish a dialogue? I think my goal here is to start making this simpler and less post-it. So maybe we can establish a dialogue with APRC and know full well that this blue post-it that Kate has is sort of step one towards doing that. Building the foundation towards having a conversation.
Yeah. What I meant it to be, and I included the community development department and plant lists because those are all developmental conversations that we need to initiate.
I don't know much about capstone projects personally, but could one of them be to look and see how different cities have are transforming their parkland? Or using their parkland to be pollinator friendly or more drought tolerant or less lawn heavy or.
Yeah, we've started a new sustainability major and we're anticipating that the sustainability major capstones will be different than sort of a research based, which is more our environmental science and policy, which would be like gathering data and doing analysis. The sustainability majors will be hopefully engaging in planning and case studies and hands on the ground projects and composting and things like that that'll be more applied. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think that would be appropriate.
I like that idea because I think way before we can have a dialogue, I think we need those case studies and we need that information for inspiration. So we could kind of do that while the parks is kind of stabilizing, becoming a happy place again.
And if we're going to do that, then we can move some of the things that are on the board, like the neonicotinoid resolution that we had suggested that maybe talk to SOU students and get them involved looking at other cities and then also reading through and looking at the pesticides, what they actually are that are listed in there as bad ones. So what are they, and does anybody really even use them around here in Ashland? So that would, to me, be another project.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. This is a can of worms, but I'll just throw it out there. I mean, in my a couple meetings ago, I was asked to get SOU's IPM policy and share with the group here. And I don't know if you all know, we used to have, our landscaping supervisor was Mike Oxendine, and he wrote the IPM for SOU. And then he went and came, I was to work for the city, and he was working for Ashland Parks and Recreation for a while, and then he got laid off. And so I went to the current, the current landscaping supervisor pays, apparently the current IPM is not being instituted, and that it is a symbolic piece of paper that doesn't reflect current practices on the ground, and they need to, the SOU needs to revisit and rewrite their IPM. And I'm actually really interested in how much, I'm curious, since Mike Oxendine has left, I really would like to know how much APRC landscaping staff is adhering to the IPM. And I hate to say that, but I'm curious because I know that there's been some instances where, like, the way we handle burn piles, for example, the APRC specified that they're going to be covered in wax paper, and decision was made, you know, to sort of put plastic on them for various reasons. And I think there's lots of, I don't know, maybe this is two totally separate things, but the IPM policy, I think that maybe needs to be revisited for, and it might be a good mutual project again with that and with the neonics. It's part of it is getting the landscaping folks on board, and I see that as an intractable problem at the moment. So I don't know. That's a really, those are both really tough ones, but I feel like they're critical.
Leslie has diverged off into a favorite topic of mine, which is forest management and forest thinning with the burn piles that it generates. And so there's a whole, at the state level and with Ashland Forest Resiliency in a really strong implementing role, because it's one of the biggest and first projects. There's actually been research done about the plastic and the air pollution from it. But I think that it's really important that we start as a B campus and a B city, you know, right next door, and parks is responsible for maintaining some lands that might even be used to be school properties or still are school properties. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for revisiting past practices, especially if they have to start thinking about better water conservation or less water using landscapes, and those lawn conversions do that. Right. So there's a lot of things that can come together, but we can't, the B City Committee all by itself can't do all that. We need some stars to align here, and I'm looking for ways that we can help the stars come into alignment.
Libby, that post that you just made, I don't think that needs to be on there. I don't think fire management, that example doesn't need to be included in there.
The IPM practices though, for sure.
Yeah, I think IPM, and maybe that goes under the established relationship with SOU Pollinator Club, if we look at it as a joint mission. But I know that Bex Walker, again, sustainability manager for SOU, is concerned about this issue, and I'm concerned about it a little bit. I'm just curious. I want to learn more about it on the APRC side and see how that's going, how implementation of the IPM is going with Minica and the other landscape folks. So maybe that gets folded into this SOU relationship that we're trying to build, or I don't know. I hope I didn't go off on a tangent too much. Sorry.
Well, I just wanted to direct, I think Leslie caught on to the fact that I was trying to take notes on what you all were doing by kind of starting fresh with page 8 of the Jamboard. So I think what Leslie noticed was that I had created a sticky note based on what she was just saying. So page 8 is my attempt to make things a little bit cleaner and group like things together. put them if they're similarly related in the same color. So if you all want to join me on page 8, that's kind of a simpler version. And I think Christina has her hand up.
You're sharing screen, by the way. We're all looking at your screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. That also means that if we're looking at our own screen because we're online, I can see that. Yeah.
Is that, do you want me to continue sharing screen or do you all want to join me in the Jamboard so you're able to see each other in Zoom and then tinker by making by making stickers of your own in the Jamboard?
Well, if you don't share it, then I don't see it. So
now let's just continue to share.
That was my concern, was that people don't have dual screens.
Sorry. No. All right. Not even sure how to do that.
So you're watching my thought processes.
Yeah, zigzagging back and forth.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
If you do it right, you can have both Libby's share screen up and your own, and you can work either way how you want to do it. You just move Libby's off to the side, and then you can have yours there. You just can't necessarily see people. I just wanted to come back to the neonicotinoids and then the IPM. I think this is a perfect opportunity for students to get involved. And I'm going to say that again, that I think having either Capstone or just students researching it, because it's a great way for them to learn about the harm that pesticides, and that could be glyphosate or it could be neonicotinoids, depending, or, you know, whatever, herbicides and insecticides. But I would personally focus probably on glyphosate because it's so common, and then neonicotinoids because it's so very common and ubiquitous. And so having students just do the research without necessarily having a goal in mind when they start the research, and then being able to incorporate that and fold it into at some point when the IPM is brought forward. I understand politics, and I'm really sad to hear that the current landscape manager at SOU is not following the IPM. I won't say anything more about that. So I think this is an opportunity. I understand the costs and budgets, and it's a lot cheaper to spray. So I totally understand that. But I think this is a great opportunity to do some research and for students to speak up. I know that there have in the past been campuses that have gone pesticide free because of the concern and the action of students. It can be scary, I'm sure. I also have heard that Mountain Meadows is pursuing this a little bit more as well to reduce their herbicides even more. So I think this is possibly a good time, and I would encourage SOU students to look at that. And it goes hand in hand with other concerns that I know people in this area have, which is about regenerative agriculture, sustainability, by changing the pH of the soil, for instance, using glyphosate, it encourages other weeds to grow.
We're getting way off topic. We've only got 20 minutes left in the meeting.
I've
got a lot more to say about what you're saying there too. It's pesticides are a cost-effective way, and yes, licensing is supposed to produce people that are smart enough to apply them as cautiously as possible, and that's why campuses have state law requiring them to do IPM more than anyone else, because of the potential exposures. So there's a lot there, and we definitely want to revive the discussion and educate ourselves about how IPM is used, can be used, and might be modified.
As a very quick aside, any of these capstones that we imagine might be going underway starting in the fall of next year, myself and whoever else need to work up like rough proposals ASAP. We need to get these in front of students as quickly as possible if we really think we want students to. So that might be a topic of next meeting or just the side conversations, but we have to get those going if we want them to happen.
Okay.
So one of the things that I've that I've observed anyway so far is that the installations, like the Clinton Park, was a big effort that involved several committee members. And right now we've got the Oak Knoll, we've got a group putting in a pollinator garden at Oak Knoll, which should actually become a demonstration garden. And we're ready and waiting. But right now they're off on their own. So each of those active projects, the supporting and building pollinator gardens, Christina does a huge amount of it through PPRB. And Albert is involved in many of those also. So I kind of think of that as an ongoing assumption that we continue that upper left-hand side, include those just happen to be the currently installing projects. East Main Park comments, the planning process. It's not to the planting stage yet, but we definitely want to stay involved in it.
Who's the group doing the Oak Knoll garden?
There's a whole group, Mike Gardner and his wife, Marge Bernard. There was some email traffic about it 2 or 3 weeks ago, and Christina had them down to the PPRV gardens down in Phoenix. So they got some ideas and went off to start making plant selections.
I believe they've already made their selections. So I think they've got that pretty resolved, and then Parks is putting in the plants. I haven't been there, and they haven't invited me back into any conversation. So I'm assuming that it's pretty much done.
Good. I feel like, just to kind of synthesize what I'm seeing here, I'm seeing that continuing the activities that we already have going under the landscape development umbrella. So continuing our certification program, possibly using a lens for phylowise assessment on those approved pollinator gardens, you know, visiting them as the applications come in, continuing to advise on any pollinator garden projects that are happening in the community, continuing to provide, you know, our expertise as requested for things like Oak Knoll or anything else people might ask us for. That can maybe satisfy this upper left-hand quadrant without taking on anything new, right? It's kind of part and parcel of what we kind of are offering the community as experts. So this part seems like it's pretty straightforward. I see that there's a lot of energy around Charisse's Firewise plant database and making it, and adding that research to it and adding the habitat and wildlife and pollinator dimension to her plant database, and then eventually disseminating that feels like a big lift. Like, that seems like something that we all kind of have some energy around, and that it could be a big lift under the education umbrella. Do you all agree that that's something that there's energy for, that we want to move that forward in the next year?
I don't personally see myself being particularly able to participate, but
okay. You
know, we're all good at different things.
Sure.
Yeah, I do see that. I see that as something that's going to go forward that we want to track, because it's important to us. And it's important to me because of the integration with water conservation.
Sure. And then here in affecting systems, policies, and over organizational change, there's an opportunity to kind of bring the student project aspect of what we're doing, and it connect it to the research that we want to do to inform systems change, to inform decision makers, to inform APRC about the options that might, exist in other communities, to inform APRC about some neonicotinoid research. If we had a student help with that, then that would help help connect these two sets of stickies. Does that sound like I'm articulating it correctly?
Yeah, that's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the East Main. It almost feels like it can be in all three categories on some level, and particularly the landscape one. But that's my personal, that might be a good choice. Thanks.
Yeah, above center. Yeah. No, I mean, I struggled with that when I was reading and commenting on the annual report is, policy bleeds over into outreach, right? Policy informs outreach. Certifying gardens and all the personal contact that happens with those is outreach. How does this, have we typically had just two working groups? Or is that flexible?
I think it's flexible. In the past, I have really encouraged the subcommittee to take on two projects, no more than two projects in a year. But as the committee has, demonstrated success with a lot of ongoing projects, it's been a little hard to say what our two projects are, because I capped it and I was like, we only get two because that'll help us keep from going crazy, right? And from spreading ourselves too thin. But that may not be reasonable considering we have a lot of irons in the fire and some of them are ongoing and not as big of a initial lift, Continuing the things that we are already successfully doing is not a huge lift, so.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd want to include in your notes probably the green ones, because that's where the pollinator garden social idea is still placed. Mm-hmm. We're, part of our effort this year is to prepare to do a pollinator tour next year that includes the firewise. So what I'm pointing out is I don't want to lose any reference to the tour, just that we're deferring it because we need time to develop the outreach materials and the ability to meet.
Is Charisse doing a firewise tour this year?
I don't know.
I brought that up just because I thought I'd be interested in knowing what the places look like.
Right. Well, right. She's doing the plant list, and so she's working with Julie on that, and the Firewise committee. I don't know whether they're going to do a tour separately from being part of the pollinator tour. She's doing a lot of inspections. I got mine done. It was really informative.
Good.
But it leads to a lot of choices and a lot of work and a lot of discussion.
I think you're right, Kate, and maybe all of these other green stickies that are related to pollinator social or a panel discussion or an educational program, maybe they should be kind of superseded by the idea that we need to get our materials together, our educational content together, and give ourselves plenty of lead time and use 2022 to set ourselves up for a really effective pollinator tour in 2023.
Good point, Libby.
Okay, so what time is it? It's almost 4:25. Does anyone want to add more, Nancy or Lori, since you haven't said much? Because we need to wrap up.
Go ahead, Lori.
I don't have anything to add. I'm just taking it all in.
Nancy?
I agree with Libby in that we... we should educate ourselves a little bit better. I don't want to a group. And I think Cerise would be a good person to help educate us. We can get out and see some of the gardens that she's investigated. And I'm sorry, my internet connection keeps going in and out, so I may be cut off mid-sentence.
I guess I just wanted to add something else that, you know, we're focusing on the firewise, which makes sense, but I really would like us to either broaden it or I'm not sure what that is, but also look at helping people understand about drought tolerant plants, which may or may not be firewise. But I think to me personally, the firewise is the least, that's lesser of my concerns. I'm more concerned with drought tolerant species. And so that would be a way that Bee City USA Ashland could help get the word out to the community in a very we don't need to do a lot of work. All we need to do is send out a mailing. We just need to write an article in the little newsletter, which I forget what that's called. It goes out. So just getting information out about drought tolerant plants that they can put in, and hopefully they'd be pollinator plants. Then that's going to decrease.
And natives.
And natives, exactly. Thank you. Native drought tolerant pollinator plants. And that's just an educational thing that could be done. And I don't know how many people have lawns anymore to water here in Ashland. I think people are pretty aware of that. But that's just another aspect of all of this. So I would like to suggest that. And then one of my little ideas that I put on my board, which is a very tiny little thing, but is at some point just putting some sort of display out about Bee City USA and the gardens. If we put that out on the outside, you know, people don't have to come in, and it would be another way to advertise our garden program or anything else. If there was a display board on the outside that we could have something specifically about Bee City USA. We have this
outside
lovely
where?
Board. Sorry?
Outside where?
At North Mountain Park.
Oh, yeah.
We have those lovely boards that talk about the classes coming up, but we doesn't necessarily advertise Bee City USA, or at least it hasn't in a while. So I was going to suggest having a display board, and I'd be certainly happy to help with creating some materials for that.
We have two outdoor bulletin boards that I use to advertise upcoming programs. Mm-hmm. If Bee City USA wants to put a flyer on one of those boards, that'd be great. Send mm-hmm. me the content that you'd like to share.
Yeah, and then we can have the a little thing about the garden program, and that would be a way to do that. And if there's anything else that we're working on that we want to advertise. Yeah.
I think that's just good to remember that that's there. And it may or may not be its own, bullet point goal for 2022, but it's an important thing to remember that you all have potentially have access to. So if anybody wants to design a flyer or wants me to put a picture of the approved pollinator garden sign or something on the bulletin boards outside at NMP, I'm happy to.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Albert?
Was there a question, or can you hear me? I don't even know.
I can hear you. I can hear you fine. I thought you might want to. You had something to say.
No, I mean, I like that. I like that idea about about the board and getting that sounds like a good idea. I know I'm getting a little. Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks.
Yeah, and I totally agree with including the native drought and drought tolerant. I wouldn't do the drought tolerant without. I mean, that's to me, that's a given.
Right.
We don't know how long people's wells or whether the irrigation districts are going to be viable this year for the second year in a row.
And that drought tolerant element seems like it ties nicely to the plant database that Cherise is putting together. I know the initial reasoning behind creating it was to assess like the firewise score for all of these different species, but now that we're adding a pollinator dimension to it, it's becoming more and more interesting to from a lot of different perspectives, because if we also add a column related to drought tolerant, then
that's absolutely the whole database. And And to me, it's another opportunity for integration. Of course, we include it with BCD USA and native plant selection criteria. But the city has water conservation goals, which include modifying landscapes away from lawns, among other things, that are just run right parallel to the garden things. And so I see no reason we shouldn't be linking our work to their work, or including some of their work, because it's all public, it's all publicly usable with our reference materials.
And I'm remembering that before Julie went to Medford, she and her team had worked on the WaterWise website. And so there's a number of quote pollinator plants that are, I guess they're ranked sort of in drought tolerance. So even if all we're doing is reminding people about that, and I don't know if we're able to add to them or whatever, but it's not like we're going to have to necessarily come up with our own work.
Yeah, the AshlandSavesWater.com website is still in existence. It's a great resource. I don't think that they have anyone updating it any longer, mm-hmm. because Julie Smitherman moved along, but it still exists with both of those dimensions in place. You can query and look at a whole bunch of different species and look at them from a pollinator lens and a drought tolerant lens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's time.
How can I, what would you like to see from me to the group?
I know it's 4:30. I didn't quite make it.
Would you like me to summarize what you saw on the screen as colored groups? And there are 1, 2, 3. There's 6 or 7 main bullets,
mm-hmm.
that are conceptually grouped together.
I wonder whether I'd really appreciate you being able to move to work those while we were talking. Since very few of us were actually able to use the Jamboard, that summary to me would be better in a outline format, more like your an outline format, such as a list format, like your action points.
Did you say it would be better than, or would be better as?
As, okay. As, yeah. So, is the next step to identify our working groups? Can you, I don't want to keep going because this was meant to be a 90-minute meeting.
Can you
put out what they used to be and ask if people, ask people to respond, say which ones do you want to be on?
That works.
I'm interested in both, and I'll do both the policy and the outreach garden stuff.
That sounds good.
So by two working groups.
And if you don't have if you don't want to start with the existing groups, just we need titles for what the groups are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can say which one they want to be in.
Okay.
Because I gather we don't want to just keep having another meeting. We're meant to meet quarterly. And we don't want to get a lot more frequent than that. We can hold working group meetings without the publicity, without the recording or the need for minutes. And then we can meet more frequently.
Sure. I'm happy to summarize these.
Please. Yes.
Under the three main headings, and then we can decide whether we want two working groups or three working groups, one for each of the headings. And then we would need to establish the working groups, which I don't know if we can do that offline or if we need to have another meeting to do that, but let's do it maybe via email. Tell me which ones you're interested in being a part of. And then I think that that would probably be fine. If we wanted to get together as a working group before we meet again, that would probably be okay.
Can we do that now? Like tell us which ones we're interested in or?
Yes, I just don't have, it hasn't coalesced into something really concrete in the minute 90 minutes that we had. So I'm going to have some serious thinking to do to summarize what's here in a tidy way.
Right. Okay. I understand. That's fine. Thanks.
Okay. Our next public meeting, if we were to go back to the quarterly structure, would be in April. But if I send this out and you all kind of self-organize into working groups before April, that's probably fine, as long as a quorum isn't there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So are we officially five members and three is a quorum?
That sounds right.
And if you find out that you need affirmation for those that as a decision, maybe we can hold a really short meeting for that, or maybe we can do it over email. I'm not sure what organizationally you can do.
We may have to allow ourselves to meet informally as long as we don't clear that quorum restriction. As long as we don't have more than a quorum, we may have to allow you all to meet informally in groups less than a quorum to continue to work out the steps forward with these different working groups. And I think that's probably fine.
And then are there any things here that are perhaps time sensitive that we just want to reiterate before we close the meeting? Like if reminders for people to go to the East Main Park meeting, which is March 3rd, I think.
Yep.
And then, you know, designing materials for the NMP boards, that's not time sensitive. But then I think there was something else that was sort of, if there's going to be some sort of public meeting or if there's some sort of capstone project. So are those that's like the time sensitive ones that we need to look at?
Yeah, I have no idea if this is a working group, but my top priority is formulating one or two capstone proposals. I already sent an email to Libby in the hopes that she and I can come up with something. But if someone is really interested in being involved with that, I think we need to package something as well as we can to get students interested in it and prioritize which one is most important and how we're going to support a capstone. Meaning that Libby's already supporting one capstone, that's BlackBerry control in NMP. So we need to think about like who will be sort of the mentor or the person that would be kind of giving some time to those students. So I don't know if that's a working group, but that's a top priority for me.
I think that because it's time sensitive and because we haven't had a chance to like vote to form formal working groups by the time we got to the end of this meeting, I feel like if a small group of y'all want to get together to talk about that with Leslie, that's fine.
Right. Leslie's not part of the forum.
I am.
She is.
She is?
Oh. I am.
I'm not.
So someone else can meet with me and Libby, and that's it. Then that's our limit. So if there's one person who is interested in helping write, okay, so Christina, I'll add you to the email and we can get going on that.
Okay.
Can you keep the committee apprised of the subjects of the capstones though? Because there might be some particular ones that I'm interested in providing input to, and others might be too.
Yeah, definitely.
If groups of us get together outside of the public meeting, even if we haven't had a chance to like formally establish and vote on a working group, I would still say that it's enough of a best practice that if people get together outside of this meeting, we brief everybody on how that developed, how projects are developing outside of the public meeting.
And then one final thing is if anyone has any comments or edits to make on the annual report to BeCity USA, they need to get to Libby and me and Christine by Friday.
Okay.
Thanks.
Perfect. I will try to send this out to everyone, but don't let it hold you back from getting together in small working groups that are less than a quorum. Because I think we have a good idea of where we're going, and it's pretty well organized on page 8 of the Jamboard. If you ever want to go back and look at it.
Yeah. Thank you, Libby, for helping us.
Thanks for doing.
And I also, Nancy got dropped, so she didn't mean to just leave us.
And Lori dropped.
So yeah. All right. Well, thank you all very much.
Okay. Cool. And we'll see you at the March 3rd East Main planning meeting.
Oh, that's going to be interesting. Thanks for alerting us to that.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Okay.